Hi, I'm Cherie Lindberg, and welcome to Elevated Life Academy, where we share real stories of healing, hope, and transformation. Tune in to hear how everyday people are rising above and lighting the way for others. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Elevated Life Academy, Stories of Hope and Healing. And I am your host, Cherie Lindberg, and we have a guest tonight named John, and he is going to introduce himself, and we are going to start talking about his journey to living an elevated life and everything that he's learned about that. So welcome, John. Thank you so much for being here.
That's great. Yeah, thank you for having me. And yeah, I'm excited to chat with you. Your evening, my morning.
That's right. Yeah, John is in Thailand and I'm here in Wisconsin. So temperatures are different and so are our daytime hours. Please introduce yourself, John, and share a little bit about your story and what you've learned.
Sure. Well, I mean, yeah, where to start? Maybe just to give you a little bit of an insight. I actually was illiterate till I was 9, 10.
Growing up in Sydney, Australia, my parents went through a nasty divorce and I kind of fell through the cracks a little bit, at least academically. I was reasonably good at sports. And my second grade teacher discovered that I had the issue because I was just a master class clown. I would disrupt the class and get kicked out anytime was my turn to read. And yeah, she basically, I wrote a story called Sausage Man from Outer Space when I was in the third grade, and she was my second grade teacher. I took it back to her and I left her classroom with a scratch and sniff sticker and a proviso that should speak to my mum about my writing potential. And she spoke to my mum and I got tutoring and special care and things like that after school. And I fell in love with reading and writing. But actually my vocation was landscaping. So I had a landscaping company for 11 years, sold that in 2010, moved into coaching, speaking with the base of NLP, neurolinguistic programming. I moved to Bali. I worked with a contractor to a US company that was running NLP trainings in Singapore. And I did that for 6 months. And then when that finished, I hired a mentor and she helped me move my coaching practice online. This is 2013. And I started coaching online. I did coaching programs. And she said, rather just be a coaching program, why don't you have a book as part of it? And then the clients can share their stories. And that's how Journey of Riches has started. So I've published more than 450 authors in the series. We've published 42 books to date. The 43rd book is being released this coming Wednesday. And I've also a documentary has come out of it featuring people like Jack Canfield, Dr. John DeMartini, and Michael Bernard Beckwith. And it's won a bunch of different international awards around the globe.
Well, amazing. So what a journey from landscaper to coach, you know. So tell me more about the stories and how that turned into healing for you, it sounds like, and for people that you are engaged with.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah, very good question. So I had the landscaping component of, like, my business was into two parts. So my first business that I actually had I had it for 4 years, but it imploded. So I was going very, very well. And I had 15 staff and we had council contracts, we had Olympic Games contracts for Sydney 2000. So that was around 98, 99. Mm-hmm. And the pressure of it was too much for me to handle. And it brought up a lot of things that I was suppressing from my childhood, emotional, physical, and sexual abuse. And I didn't even know these things were a part of my makeup. It wasn't until, like, I would be in these pressure situations and I would get angry or frustrated or upset, and I just didn't know where it was coming from. So everything that I got support with was just what I needed, but it got me so far. So at first I had a counselor, then I worked with a life coach, who also did kinesiology, past life regression healing, and that really helped me get to a certain level. And I went into, like, going to different seminar trainings, and so I was with Insight seminars, Landmark Forum,
all these different organizations, T. Harv Eker or his suite of programs, Tony Robbins, Chris Howard, and I would just dive into personal development just to explore more about who I am, why do I do what I do, and just exploring the various different, I mean, because so much was, it was so pushed down, I guess, automatically, I mean, still this, to this day, I suppress emotions and feelings. I guess we all do at a different level. And yeah, just a matter of being aware of that. So embracing is a lifelong journey. Whereas, you know, in the very beginning, I used to think I'm healed now. Like I just have this amazing healing session and I work with some amazing shamans and all the rest of it, Native American Indians in the hills of San Diego, Cherokee, Medicine Wheel, Vision Quest. So I've done all these different things. And yeah, it just enabled me to expand and grow and get to another level. But then there's just more layers and layers and layers. And I used to think that that was a curse. Now I see it as a blessing.
So how did this idea about the stories and the riches come to be?
The journey of riches. So a journey of riches, yeah, was basically when I hired that mentor in Bali. She was already living that lifestyle, location independent, digital nomad, before that was really a term. It was back in late 2013. And she'd been living it for a number of years. And so she helped me. I had a coaching practice in Sydney. It was like face-to-face at an office. And then she helped me move those clients like online. So then I reached out to them again. So I'm launching a new program that now is going to have a book as part of it. That's how Journey of Riches started. Nice. So it was initially through a coaching program. And after the first book, I was like, I know I love the stories of reading them. And it brought so much positive feedback and healing and points of reflection. But it was, I found it so difficult to publish. I self-published it. And I just thought, oh, well, you know, I done it once, that's enough. Then people kept asking me, and it was kind of like an idea that wouldn't go away. Yeah. And so the power of story, I mean, it's just so healing. But the authors, you know, writing, sharing your story, looking back, connecting the dots, it can be very cathartic, therapeutic. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, then another book just came about, then another, and then other people started to ask me to help them with their books. And so that's, I transitioned from coaching into publishing a full time around the end of 2016, beginning of 2017.
So you're not doing coaching anymore?
No, I am doing coaching, but it's more like writing coaching rather than, you know, the 0 to 7, you know, inner child work and things like that. Yeah. I was also specializing doing a lot of work. Even in 2018, I worked with a guy that was in Los Angeles. I was there for filming and a friend said, I've got a friend of mine. He's really struggling with vertigo. He's had it since he was 7. And I spent 6 hours with him and he hasn't had it since. We went right at the top of one of the tallest buildings in downtown Los Angeles. And he was fine. He could never do that before and look down. He couldn't go up escalators. And so, yeah, I was doing a lot of profound work through NLP and still like people just hadn't heard of me previously or word of mouth. So I was still doing a little bit, but I haven't done it for a while now, not under that banner as a writing coach. I'm still using those tools, but it's just in a different way.
Wow. What a journey. Who would have thought? I mean, I'm listening to where you were in school and now where you're at. I mean, that's a pretty amazing story, John, that you're sharing.
Yeah, thank you, Sherry. Appreciate it. And even I used the coaching skills when I was on set and interviewing people or bringing out their story, right? You know, it's so different when you end up all the lights set up and, you know, you're facing a camera and you've got all these different people around. Asking you just look in the camera lens and share your story. Yeah. That can be quite challenging and it brings up a lot of stuff, a lot of emotion and can trigger some, you know, past things that, you know, maybe we haven't resolved within ourselves. And I feel it's so advantageous to do a lot of, at least for me, it has been inner child work and I still do. I used to go to write or just bring up a whole lot of stuff that I didn't even know existed. around, am I enough? Am I worthy? You know, who's going to listen to me and all that sort of thing. And really it came back from my inner child and him not feeling his love. I feel it's never too late to reparent ourselves.
Right. Well, you and I are on the same track here. I mean, it's one of the reasons why we created this podcast is to seek out folks like yourself, because we really want people to know that there's a lot that you can do so that you can live your best life, you know, to live an elevated life. And I really like hearing how you just kept going after your own personal growth. You just kept trying new things out. And I also hear from your story that you didn't pigeonhole yourself, that you allowed yourself to learn and evolve and try out different things and shift the way that you needed to as your story started to shift and take different shapes and sizes, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think it's important to let your heart lead, and that can be very scary, and just trusting that. And I find that, yeah, that can be very, very difficult to trust yourself and to trust that, because it means change, right? I guess we're wired, you know, to fear the unknown. And I guess it feels safer just to accept, you know, the ordinary, and, you know, because it's predictable and things, but there's just so much more out there, and it's in the unknown. It is a little scary at first, but it's never been easier with the amount of support available, you know, online, in person. And yeah, it's pretty cool, because I mean, I remember like back in my parents' days, I'm sure this was the same for you too, Cherry, is that it was a real negative stigma to say, you know, I'm getting counseling, or I'm seeing a psychologist, or mm-hmm. I've got a life coach. And people would be like, what? Like, what's wrong with you? You crazy, cuckoo? Or, mm-hmm. you know, and now it's like, well, why haven't you seen mm-hmm. someone? Or it's a real paradigm shift. And so, yeah, I feel it's on many levels, it's an exciting time to be alive.
Yeah. Can you share a little bit more about, you know, your journey in terms of maybe you came across a challenge and how you overcame that challenge?
Sure. Well, making the documentary, I'd never had any experience. I lived in Bali for 8 years. I'm now living in Thailand. And an idea came to me about a film. You know, we published the first book. It was a success. And this idea came to me that I should make a film out of it. And then I was like, well, who? And all these different people came to me that would be great to have in the film. Kind of like what happened in The Secret, if you saw that film. And so I thought, well, how am I going to organize how am I going to reach these people to film them? And so I had to do a lot of research, and then I was reading Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And to think that it took 25 years of research for him to write that book, interviewed countless thought leaders, and he had this section at the back of the book about creating your imaginary council, different people that you looked up to that inspired you. And so I created my own imaginary council as a vision board with all the different people I thought would be great to have in the film. And so, yeah, Jack Canfield, Wayne Dyer, I had Dr. John DeMartini, all these different people, Rhonda Byrne, and, yeah, Michael Bernard Beckwith, yeah, all these different people. And I would had this imaginary council. And so as guided by Napoleon Hill's description in the book, mm-hmm. he's saying you just bring everyone in, and then it feels a little weird at first, but then it takes on a life of its own. And lo and behold, like I used to have like these imaginary conversations, then they started to become kind of like real, almost like telepathic communication. Mm-hmm. And I remember one particular afternoon, Michael had come in, and I imagined him coming in, and then we were talking about the vision for the film, and he said, well, I think it's amazing, let's just make it happen. And I was like, how? And it felt very real. He said, it felt like he said to me, well, just come to Agape, we'll make it happen, you will see. And I was like, wow, okay. And so I I'd been working with a DP on another sort of smaller project. And I didn't tell him about the imaginary conversation, but I said, we're going to Los Angeles and we're going to film this Michael Bernard Beckwith. I told a friend of mine who lives in LA, he's from the United States, and we'd met in some trainings and things that I'd done in the US. And I told him like the full story, what I'm sharing with you now. And he said, yeah, just go there with the intention that you're going to film him. And then he said, well, you've got to take my ex-girlfriend. She's in film and she'd love to be involved. And we walked through the car park and the DP is taking some still shots. It was like February 14th or 15th on a Sunday, 2016. And it was, yeah, it's obviously winter, but it's a California winter. So it was a little bit fresh out, but it was beautiful, clear sky and the sunlight was coming through the pear blossoms. And then we hear this voice, what on earth do you think you're doing? You don't have media passes. And he made us delete all the photos. And then he turned to me, what on earth are you doing here? I see you've got film equipment, but you don't have media passes. And I said, well, I explained the idea and vision for the film, that there's a gift in adversity, there's a benefit to having challenging life. Good things can come out of negative experiences. And he looked at me, he's like, wow, that's interesting. Well, let me introduce you to Jacqueline Brown. And then we spoke to Jacqueline Brown, then she introduces to Leah Brown. Then next thing, we got VIP passes right at the front, and we're sitting there, and we stood up and got acknowledged as being there for the first time. And it was an extraordinary experience. And wow. And a week later, we're filming Michael Bernard Beckwith. And I had a similar experience with Dr. John V. Martini, Jack Canfield. And yeah.
Wow.
The rest is history.
Well, that is really, really interesting. I really love the idea of, and I've talked about this actually in my experience, having that inner counsel that you're talking about, which is, you know, your own inner wisdom. And so listening to you do that like a vision board inside and actively having those conversations, that is really, really neat. I just really get excited hearing about that. So the people that you interview through these stories, do you primarily seek them out or do they reach out to you for publishing in the book?
Both. I like everyone that's been in the series is either being a refer or invited by me. So personally, yeah, just reach out on Facebook or LinkedIn or wherever, even through personal development events. I mean, initially, everyone that appeared in the series was clients or former clients, because that's kind of how the series started. They were in the coaching program. And so that's how they first got started. And then it was like their brands or would be friends that I met through the personal development trainings. I did so much in that personal development trainings and things. And there's always, so many different people, a lot of times in the rooms, and you develop connections and think, and they're like, oh, I see that you're doing divorce. And I asked about it or saying, wow, I mean, like, congratulations on this book. I didn't know you were doing that, or congratulations, I know you struggle with it, or, whatever the narrative was, their perspective. And so that's how I kind of got started. And then, it's just sort of progressed from there. But just developing the ask, not afraid to ask. I think it's just seeing qualities in people and then communicating those qualities back to them. Mm-hmm. And then them saying, wow, okay, you really feel like people would resonate with my story. It's like, yeah, like that's. And most of the time when I hear that, I know that they're sitting on a really inspiring story. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a matter of just helping them explore that. A bunch of processes that we do that's, I guess, one of the gifts that I've acquired from, struggling early on with literacy and the basics of the English language is that actually being able to simplify the writing process. And so it can make it a whole lot easier for first-time writers. Yeah, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, well, and that is a wonderful gift. And I'm just listening again to your story and how through all of those what seemingly were obstacles that turned into actual stepping stones, the persistence, most people would have been like, okay, well, how do we self-publish? I don't know. And too much and, give up on it. But you're like, all right, we'll figure it out, right? So then you did that. And then, well, let's do a documentary. Well, how do we do that? Well, I don't know. Let's research. We'll figure it out. We'll get it done. So it's a very inspiring story, John. And it's good for the audience to hear how much everyone is capable, right? And I'm hearing you also say how you pull out that self-knowledge out of your authors. Help them see what they are capable of. They might not even realize it, but you hear something when you listen to them.
And once you get the positive triggers and you just get a little momentum and the belief just expands, because it's being reflected back to you. And yeah, and one word at a time, one sentence at a time, paragraph, page, and before you know it, you've got a completed chapter. And then a lot of the authors go on, you know, come back a second, third, fourth, and fifth time. They're able to actually repurpose their chapters into other forms of content, weekend workshop, retreats, free half-day or full-day events that feeds their coaching program, a keynote presentation, TEDx talks. Mm-hmm. And so it's been amazing to see it expand, go on from there. It's just that ripple effect. Yeah. We don't always get there, but when we do, it's just so fulfilling and inspiring. And I guess the reason why we do this work.
So what brought you to Thailand?
I was for post-production for the documentary. The studio was in an island down south from where I'm based now in Koh Phangan. And so I was living down there and, yeah, we would catch up every month or every second month, every other month. And yeah, and just it took a lot. Post-production is probably the biggest component. I think we had like over 500 hours of footage to go through and put it into themes. And yeah, it was a lot of just re-watching the same footage over and over again. And yeah, so it was like just almost remembering parts of the film verbatim. That was pretty special. Also challenging because long hours.
So then you liked it so much, you're hanging out there more?
Well, yeah. So because it took so long, it took actually because I was living around Koh Phangan on a nearby island called Koh Tao, and I would just go across. It's only like a 40-minute ferry ride. And then with accommodation there, they had a bit of a shortage when I was there. And yeah, that's a whole other story. But I moved to the mainland. I'm living on the mainland now. And then I met my girlfriend and then I decided to stay. So we only just finished the film in December 2024. And
okay, well, one
has been doing the festival circuit. Yeah, starting last year with the first festival, I think was around about April. Okay. So it's won a whole bunch of different awards, yeah, in the US, Australia, and around Europe, Asia.
Wonderful. Is there anything that I haven't asked you that would be good for the audience to hear from you? Is there anything else around your story? Or I hear determination. I hear persistence. I also hear joy, passion, and aliveness when you talk about your journey. Is there anything I haven't asked you about that would be good for you to share?
Don't be afraid to ask for help and put it out there. That can come in many different forms. I remember one particular instance in the early days of the idea, the incubation period with the film. We had filmed a bunch of the guests. Then I was like, well, what am I meant to do next? And I just felt so overwhelmed. I was just like these different streams of thoughts and doubts. And it was too much for me to handle. And I was just like, almost like I was speaking to God, spirit, source, whatever you want to label and call it. I was like, this is too much for me. I can't handle it. There was a Sunday morning and I was like, if I'm meant to do this, show me a sign, bring me some support. And as I got it out there, because I was like, it was almost like I was venting and just releasing the overwhelm, the static around my mind, and just with these thoughts and doubts. And I just forgot about it. And I was playing indoor cricket that day. I was in Bali and I went there and we're playing cricket. And it's kind of like baseball it's indoors. And one of the guys in my team, he brought his neighbor who was dog sitting, used to be a vet. And he was from the US. So I met him and we just had a bit of a chat, and at 12 he's like, I just wanted to see what cricket was about, and they heard it and he just wanted to come and watch and observe. And I was more focused on the match because, you know, we're playing and et cetera. We actually won, and that didn't happen very often. So the guys wanted to go and celebrate at the bar, at the pub. And I don't normally, I actually don't drink, and so I wouldn't normally go, but for some, this reason, it just felt in that I should go. And so I went, and bars are actually really good places in Bali, as they cater for people who don't drink. And so they actually do fresh juices. So I had a fresh papaya juice. And I noticed that the American guy, his name is Adam, he wasn't drinking. He was having a soda. And so I went over and just started chatting with him and asked him what he was doing and things like that, and vice versa. And I told him we're working on this project. He goes, oh, like I've been working in film as a producer. I actually produced a number of different films. And I told him about what I was doing, and he and I came on as a advisor. So I had a couple of sessions with him and just really reconfirmed what I was doing. I was on the right track, and that's just what I needed.
Yeah.
And so don't be afraid to ask for help, even if it's to God, the ether, you know, prayer, you know, whatever it is that's really close to your heart, reach out, surrender. You know, you have to just sit in the overwhelm or self-doubt, and it's going to bring up anything that you do new, you know, embrace the new. You know, when we follow our goals and dreams, that it's going to bring up stuff that we need to address. You know, when I was speaking, we was in Jack Canfield's home in Santa Barbara, and he was talking it like an analogy, and this part didn't make it in the film just because the film would be so long otherwise. But he was saying it's like when you go to a festival or a fair and you have the machine where all these different clowns come up in the hole and you've got to bump them down, and you get so many, you win a prize. Because that's what it's like when you pursue your dreams, when you pursue your goals. All these different things pop up, limiting beliefs, self-doubt, self-sabotaging behaviors, you know, imposter syndrome. And you've got to put them one by one with that thing, you know, and dump them back down, address them, get to the root cause, you know. And I really like that analogy. And it's the same, you know, when we're getting into the, stepping into the unknown, into that field of infinite possibility, it's going to bring up a lot of stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm listening to what you're saying. And, you know, when we grow, you know, part of the growth is bopping that stuff down, because it is definitely going to come up. You're absolutely right. So, and it sounds like you've had your own set of, we call it like there's little groundhogs that you hit and bop them back down, not clowns, but you've had those. And you've overcome them. And I really like what you have said today and the inspiration and the positive. Like, yeah, you're going to have doubts. You're going to have imposter syndrome. You're going to have limited beliefs. But don't let that stop you. And don't forget to ask for help. And I loved what you said about surrender. So often we don't surrender. We try to control, or we try to analyze it and fix it and whatever. And so I really, it almost, to me listening, it almost feels like you had a community of support to help you to on this journey. And then you in turn did the same thing. You were support to others so that they could be on their journey. And that's really what this is all about. These are the stories that I want to bring onto this podcast, because our world is in trouble. It needs some positivity out there, you know? So thank you so much for sharing your story. And I look forward to watching the documentary and hearing more. I got a feeling, John, that we've got some things in common. So we'll have to chat about that.
Yeah, it'd be great to, collaborate with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me. It's been great chatting with you.
Yeah. Take care. Thank you for joining us today on Elevated Life Academy, Stories of Hope and Healing. As you move back into your world, I invite you to take a breath and hold on to whatever stirred something in you from our podcast today. Healing isn't always loud, but it is always sacred. Whether today's story opened your heart, gave you a new perspective, or just reminded you that you are not alone, it matters, and so do you. Keep choosing alignment, keep trusting your becoming, and remember, the elevated life isn't perfect, it's present. If this episode resonated, share it with someone who needs a little more light. And if you're ready to go deeper in your own journey, you know where to find me. Until next time, stay rooted, stay rising, and stay you.